Welcome to EcoTalk, your radio home for all things green. I am your host for this hour of environmental news and views. And today's show is jam-packed with everything from an encouraging development in Congress this week, where a bipartisan coalition, which includes religious leaders and Christian evangelists, unveiled legislation designed to curtail oil consumption in this country without, get this, without drilling in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. Now that that's been shot down, hooray. Our first segment will be focused on what's happening in China on the environmental front. And in our segment, we will be getting an update on forest conservation efforts in the second segment, first half hour. And then in our second half of the show, just in time for Thanksgiving, we will meet Teresa Marquez. She is with the Organic Valley Farms, and we'll find out about the Earth Dinner, something she invented. It's a new way to honor small farmers and our planet while giving thanks. And in our last segment, we'll be speaking to the NRDC about the new energy savings legislation I just referred to. And we'll also get an update on efforts to block oil drilling off of our coasts. But before we get underway, a little business to take care of. EcoTalk is proud to be sponsored by the Natural Resources Defense Council, the nation's leading environmental action organization. NRDC uses law, science, and the support of more than 1.2 million members and online activists to protect our planet's wildlife and wild places and to ensure a safe, healthy environment for all living things. And speaking of sponsorship, want to mention that EcoTalk is in the midst of a fundraising drive. We are seeking advertising sponsors for 2006, environmental partners like the NRDC, as well as individual donors to help keep our show on the air through the year to come. If you'd like to help out, and we hope you will, please go to our website at www.ecotalk.net. You can find out how to donate, and you can also, if you have more questions about what we need funding for, be happy to answer them. You can email us through that website. And now I want to welcome to our San Francisco studios Wen Bo, who is an environmental activist visiting San Francisco. He is also with the Pacific Environment, and that is a group based in San Francisco. And we're going to find out, we've heard a lot about China. In fact, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger there this week, even President Bush there, Schwarzenegger talking a lot about the need to get off oil and really switch to renewable energy, something I find a good sign. Surely a tipping point must be underway when the guy who invented the Hummer is talking about the need to reduce oil consumption and talking about moving to renewables. So maybe things have finally improved. By the way, I want to mention our theme song for the last 8 to 10 months has been Let's Take Our Heads Out of the Sand by our Fred Bob Wickline. The reason we're not playing that anymore is because I think there are signs that we finally are taking our heads out of the sand in the wake of this devastating hurricane season. As I mentioned before, with Oprah Winfrey spending a whole hour on the environment and global warming recently, with Prince Charles on his U.S. tour talking about little else other than his love of organics, foods, and also the need to do more about global warming, with some pointed references to the U.S. needing to take a leadership role. It feels like we finally are having a tipping point, probably. It has more to do with record high gas prices as much as anything else. But I'm happy to say that we're retiring that song, at least for now. It feels like things are starting to shift. And again, one of the positive developments happened in Congress this week. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that later. But first, want to thank you for joining us and tell us what is happening there with energy consumption, thirst for oil, really reaching a peak or heading that direction pretty quickly in not only China but India. It's really having an impact on the global oil market, as well as demand for steel because of the growth boom and how that's affecting the price of steel and availability. So thank you for telling us what is happening right now as it concerns the environment, energy, oil, and more.
Well, hello. It's an honor to be here. I think China, as economic taken off and the car ownership has increased dramatically. You can see the roads are full of cars, and often you see the streets in Beijing are like a parking lot.
Well, wait a minute. There used to be full of bikes. How is there, and there wasn't any room for pedestrians barely in many streets anyway.
Right.
How is there room for cars now, and including some larger ones?
Well, as there's more roads are being built, and the cities are quickly increasing its size, and the Chinese government think the promoting the car consumption is a driving force for economic development. So the cars are just the number of cars only in Beijing and Shanghai and other major cities are just dramatic increased.
And as the economy improves, more people can afford to buy cars.
Right.
And gas. How much does gas cost over there?
I don't own a car, so, so I never go to the gas station. So I assume it's a little bit cheaper than the United States. But mm-hmm. still in recent couple of years, you see the dramatic increase of the gas price is often reported in media, and people start to feel, you know, the there's been a real shortage of oil in China, and you can see that China trying to secure deals with other countries, right?
And, I mean, trying to take over Unocal,
and I also try to build a pipeline from Russian Far East, from Kazakhstan, and also try to persuade other oil-producing countries to sell their oil supply to China. But you see that this trend of economic development is certainly a dead end, because the world certainly cannot supply enough oil to feed the thirst of China. And often you can see there's conflict between China and its neighboring countries.
Do you think the Chinese government realizes this? And did you say they were trying to encourage the purchase of cars? And if so, what do they think? Where are they going to get the oil?
Well, I think they realize there's serious oil shortage in China. And they also know that it would be a serious problem with national security because of lack of energy. So they are talking about energy security. But they wouldn't want to give up such a economic pattern that's based on fossil fuel. And at this moment, they look in the run short term. So they just try to be competitive in the world market. So they try to compete with the other countries like US and Japan and Korea. So they try to buy with a higher price and try to secure such an energy supply.
Now, China is just a little bit bigger physically, geographically than the United States, but the population is four times greater. So China obviously is the big gorilla in the global sandbox. And as this metamorphosis takes place, and there's not only demand for energy, but for water, for steel, for all kinds of building resources, it really seems like it's having a huge impact already and will continue to. Is this being addressed, or are they just saying, you know, capitalism, here we come, consequences be damned?
Well, I think China does have a large ecological footprint on the world. And
they'll be catching up with us quickly. If you look at per capita, we're 4% of the world's population. We consume 25% of the resources. China having more people but having a smaller footprint because of its culture now changing, it frightens a lot of people, actually.
Well, we have, on each individual level, we do have smaller ecological footprint. We consume, each Chinese person consume a lot less than the American people consume. Mm-hmm. But the population is so big, that's certainly, you know, when you count so many people and the pressure that's laid on the earth is simply tremendous.
Huge scale.
Right.
And one of the consequences of burning so much coal, which I guess is your primary source of energy, is terrible pollution. Is that being addressed? And I know that there's groups like the Energy Foundation are working to really bring technology and renewable energy expertise to China before you make the same mistakes we have.
Right. Coal is a major source of energy in China still. And that's also come at a heavy environmental price, actually. The acid rain and the health impact associated with the coal burning. You often see a lot of rural villages are called cancer villages. People are dying because of this pollution.
Did you say cancer villages?
Yeah, they were called cancer villages.
Wow.
because there's a high percentage of people having cancer because of pollution.
So is there motivation to go to cleaner sources of fuel quickly?
Certainly. That's the motivation from people and from the government. And also it's economic beneficial to the country to have a cleaner technology and a much better environment.
Mm-hmm. In our last minute, what's going on with endangered species? Is that under attack too in your country?
Well, that's a big topic. China is becoming a huge market for wildlife consumption. And traditionally, people take wildlife as resources. For example, the tiger bone being used for traditional medicine, and many of endangered plants and animals are being used on traditional medicines. And also there's a big appetite for the endangered species like shark fin, like turtle soup, etc.
So you're working to protect
endangered
species.
Right, and not so the wildlife resources in China, inside China, is diminishing, it's destroyed. And so we're trying to, the country is actually import a lot of wildlife from other countries.
Thank you very much, Arfe. We're out of time. We've been speaking with Wen Bo from China. He works with Pacific Environment, based in San Francisco. Stay with us. You're listening to EcoTalk. We'll be right back.